Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And yeah. You're seeing exactly
you know
what
why
people
it's not,
outside of Cleveland
you know,
think of the Browns, outside of Browns.
You know
fans.
Why it's not coming from those guys? Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos. Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Sports Radio 610 presents The Drive with Sterner and Hughley.
Text line, think you're being too hard on them, Clint. And
who?
It's unbelievable the Astros made it this far with all the injuries they had.
Well, not win a Super Bowl, sure, but I mean, you showed World that Series. With those injuries that you were a team that was worthy of building a seven-game lead in the division.
Team macho.
And then down the stretch in the second half when you started getting guys back and you figured out the guys you moved to elevated were the Jason Alexanders of the world were going to be able to give you. I mean, you kind of messed the bed there. I don't know. I don't know what to tell you. I would say if it's World Series – yeah, hey, man, it's going to be tough to get all the way, make that run. I don't know if you got enough firepower. I don't know if you got enough arms. But given how you were set up in this division, given how you were set up with a big lead in this division, it's hard for me to say that the injuries were what were the reason why you didn't make it.
Yeah.
Personally. I get it. Look, no doubt about it, the injuries were a big deal. But not even making the playoffs? I can't go
there.
They
missed the playoffs.
Not after what you've shown you're capable of doing with all your reserves.
You're saying how they got there, yeah. Right? Like they were in a lead. It wasn't like they were chasing. They ran out of gas because they had injuries after injuries. It was just going to be hard to get pitching. And then you had Framber just go on a swoon the entire last month plus. So
I'll see you in October.
Fall back on. That was tough. All right. This, to me, was a conversation even before the news of the day of C.J. Gardner-Johnson being released from the team because according to team sources, a bad football player, a selfish football player who went out there and did whatever the hell he wanted to do and a bad teammate that pointed fingers and didn't take accountability. Even before all of that, according to the team sources, Clint, they're in trouble. They're in big trouble. At 0-3 right now with the Colts being 3-0. And look, the Colts, I mean, they got a tough game against the Rams. Obviously, the Texans saw the Rams, and the Rams had the champs, the Eagles, on the road beat. They opened up, a 19-point lead in that game and lost. They got two field goals blocked in a game they lost by. Well, it should have been one until Jordan Davis went crazy and ran a block punt of 61 yards back with no time left. They're a good football team, but Clint, the Colts look, when I say for real, at least for real enough to win the division. Like they're going to be a problem when it comes to. They look like they can get to 10 wins, especially with their schedule. So they're in trouble, Clint, and I think they're in trouble on the field and when it comes to making the playoffs. But I think it's even deeper than that, Clint. And if this season continues to go anywhere close to the route it is, Clint, there to me clearly has to be a major change or changes made with this team. And that's where the pressure they're in right now. They've got to win this game against the Titans and they got to get back in this thing. If not, Clint, I think we see a lot of changes, major changes with this team.
Oh, wow. What kind of changes are you talking about?
Well, I just think, Clint, if this thing continues to go like this, especially with the offense looking like this, I just don't think we're going to be able to turn to the offensive line coach as the one to be the scapegoat. I don't think we're going to turn to the OC for a second straight year. I think it would have to go a little higher up the food chain. I think, to me, if this thing goes left like it's going right now, and Clint, I mean, they missed the playoffs, and this is some sort of a 7 or 6 win team, Clint, or worse, and they're under 500. I think, to me, one of the big three, which in order of power, D'Amico, C.J. Stroud, Caserio, I think one of those three don't return.
Mm.
I think if it goes that way, or you're just, I mean, what are we doing here? I think one of those three don't return, because you just can't keep rolling that out. And clearly they're just not working together well, and I don't think D'Amico's going anywhere, and I don't think the quarterback's going anywhere. And to me, the person that would fall on it would be, I would think, Caserio at this point.
Yeah, look, I mean, I think there's going to be some tough conversations if this thing stays the course. I mean, there's no doubt about that. Offensive line is a problem again, and as the picture I painted earlier,
yeah.
I mean, if it continues to go the way it's going, I mean, you can say that the decisions that were made for the offensive line, whether it's drafting the wrong guys initially or not spending money in free agency to protect the guy, you can argue that it's ruined C.J. Stroud, who's gone from leading the league in yards per game and fewest interceptions, to a guy that's not even talked about in the top quarterbacks in the league. So you can go that route. You know, when you look at the Nick Caley hire, you know, there's no doubt about it. Caserio's fingerprints are all over that joker with the history in New England. You look at the Cole Popovich hire, the New England history there. That this all has Nick Caserio written all over it. And so, look, there's definitely the big bugaboos that have held this team back, and potentially ruined the quarterback, your franchise quarterback, is definitely lays at the feet of Nick Caserio.
But I would ask you and the people this, Clint, if this thing keeps going the way it is, and what I'm saying is, I'm not saying they go 0-17. I think clearly they're going to win some games, even if this thing doesn't get turned all the way around to the way that I think you would hope it would be. I think they're going to win some games with their defense. And I think CJ and Nico will have plays, have moments. They've got some talent over there. But if this team doesn't make the playoffs and this team struggles and it's still going this way offensively, if they didn't make a major change, Clint, what would be your thought process with this team? And I would think they're unserious. Like, if they didn't make a major move. They fired the offensive coordinator last year after back-to-back 10-win seasons and playoff wins. And the offensive lines got worse. I mean, I know the McNairs have said how much they, you know, obviously they like Nick. They love D'Amico. They love Nick. They love CJ. Love those guys. But, I mean, they got too much talent, Clint, to be looking the way that they look. And as you said, all the issues with the offensive line and all of these things. I mean, Caserio's he's hired 3 coaches in 5 seasons. They've got 2 offensive coordinators in the last 2 years. They fired someone trying to get better. They look a lot worse. The draft has been, I think there's been some really good things done in the draft, but then there's some other odd moves too. I think if this thing continues, I can't take the Texans serious if they would just run back those 3 guys to make the same decisions again. There's just no way you can get there and say, all right, our offensive line's a problem again. We're going to let these guys fix it again. They came in here, Clinton said, our offensive line's the problem. Their moves was Cam Robinson, Ed Ingram, Lakin Tomlinson, and crew.
They're all fixable.
They can't let that come by again. Now, I'm not saying all 3 of them got to be gone. I'm not saying 2 of them got to be gone. But, somebody has got to fall on the sword for this team that the McNairs have expectations to get, at the very least, in the playoffs in this division. Daniel Jones is going to hold them out? No, I can't. I can't at all get with them even the thought of running it back. And I think the fan base would lose their mind if all of those guys came.
Well, it's a messy situation. And look, I'll be honest with you. I don't think any of them are gone. I think they're too, no matter what happens. I don't think any of them, any heads roll whatsoever of the 3 that you mentioned. I mean, C.J. Stroud, only a fool would not at least keep him through year four to see what happens. And D'Amico obviously is going nowhere. I could see where you know, obviously there's some warts with Nick Caserio, but again, I don't think any of them are going to be, regardless of how bad this season goes, I don't think any of them are going to be quick trigger worthy.
Really?
Yep.
Tyler might quit the Texans if they did that. I'm not even saying Nick is bad at his job or any of them are terrible at their job. It's just, this isn't working. Like, that's what we'd have to get to if this thing continues to roll. Like, this isn't working. Like, there's no way that we could keep rolling like this. Text line coming in. Caserio would definitely be on the hot seat. Guys, Caserio should be on the hot seat right now. I'm just saying. This offensive line, this offseason is starting to be rough even more with the Gardner Johnson news today. I mean, this has not been a good run for Nick Caserio in the last 6 months.
Well, you got to look at it as you are heavily dependent on the offensive side of the football of Nick Caserio. And you look at it right now, you've got a lack of weapons. You look at it right now, the offensive coordinator that you clearly hired isn't working out. And you look at it right now, the one of the biggest issues, top three issue in the entire NFL, if you would have ranked issues in the NFL, protecting C.J. Stroud after the rookie year that he had, and then the rough second year was up there, the top three, and then you take the route that you did and it doesn't work out. Yeah, I think Nick Caserio is the one, you know, the conversation here. I think there's a conversation to be had. I just don't think heads end up rolling.
I think he's the one that really needs this to turn around the most.
Oh, I agree with that.
I think he is the one that is in line. And I don't even think it's all Nick's fault, because I do believe them when they say that they're making a lot of, you know, decisions together. This is a group thing.
Yeah.
That they're making a lot of decisions together. But, I mean, if they win 6 games this year and C.J. Stroud plays the whole way, I mean, yeah. If they run it back with those three, that is wild to me. All right, coming up, 5 o'clock fire. As we continue, we'll get you ready for the Astros in this huge, huge series. And as they finish up on the road, they start with the A's. We'll get you ready for that. The news of the day, what does this look like on the field for the Texans with C.J. Gardner-Johnson and our first quarterback change this season in the NFL? We'll discuss that coming up.